had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. The word is El Shaddai, and I think so many are familiar with that word from Amy Grant's song El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty. And here Jesus, immediately, as he comes down from this great sermon, the multitudes are gathered around him. A great host of people are there. And it blesses my heart to realize that Jesus sees a leper. That's good news to me. Jesus is very concerned about the small things, the little people, the insignificant things that may plague you. Jesus sees the leper. The word says there, behold, a leper came and worshipped him. We have to set the stage here. There is a great multitude of people, an army of people. No doubt, as the sermon is being delivered, people gather around the base of that hill, and they're all around about there, and Jesus comes down, and you can hear horses and donkeys making their noises. The people are together. You can hear the clinging and clanging of things. Perhaps there are Roman guards around the area listening. You can hear the clanking of metal, perhaps the scuffing of horses' hooves upon the ground. There's a lot going on. A great multitude of people have gathered. And all of a sudden, something that pierces, perhaps, the noise and the hubbub of everything that's going on is a deafening silence. Because you see, something had gone terribly wrong. A leper was standing there. Because it says, behold, look, take notice, there's a leper. And Jesus takes notice, and no doubt, this leper had broken the law, commanded him that when he came near a crowd of people, he had to say, unclean, 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 3 times. He had to issue that decree concerning himself. And according to the scripture, it's not mentioned. There's a great multitude, and nothing's mentioned about him saying unclean. But behold, Jesus sees this leper. A leper came and worshipped him, and all of a sudden, there's a deafening silence. People grabbing their robe, covering their own faces, standing off, looking at this man in a horrible sight. And technically, if you want to get legal about it, the leprous man broke the law commanded to him in Leviticus. He was supposed to make that statement, and yet chances are he didn't. He heard the teachings of Jesus, and he went there because he was perhaps longing for the words that were coming from the lips of the Savior. Who is this man? He teaches with one as though having authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees. And he ventures out, taking his chance, and there, in the midst of all the multitude, is a leper. Now listen, this is important. In the Jewish mind, and you have to put your little Jewish hat on right now to think this through. Remember, Matthew's writing to the Jews. And in the Jewish mind, a person who had leprosy was cursed of God. For the very word leprosy comes from a root that means stricken by God. Stricken. Stricken because of sin, the Jewish mind thought. And they had good reason to think that. If you understand, remember in the book of Numbers, I believe it's chapter 12, where Miriam, remember Miriam and Aaron? Moses is leading the people. He's the pastor of the flock that God had given him. And people in his own family. And it's interesting, Jesus says a prophet is not welcome in his own home. Miriam and Aaron stand up against Moses and they begin to complain and murmur about his leadership. You know, why don't you do it this way? Why don't you start this program, Mo? It's not working right. Look, you need to do this and the other thing. And Miriam, it says, was smitten with leprosy. It says that God came down in a cloud and he said, hey, Mo, Aaron, Miriam, come over here. I want you to come over here. I got something to talk to you guys about. And it's awesome if you read it, and I encourage you to do so. He separates Moses and he separates Aaron and Miriam. And there's a cloud, the presence of God. And God rebukes them for speaking against his anointed servant. He says, listen here, I will talk to my prophets with visions and with dreams. But concerning Moses, I'll speak to him face to face. And God is establishing there an order of command. And yet, through rebellion, disobedience, Miriam and Aaron went against what God had said. And here, as the cloud departed, Miriam was standing there, cursed with leprosy. And so that news, of course, traveled. And the Jewish mind thinks and thought, leprosy is a curse from God. And thus it is so in this portion of Scripture with Miriam. Remember Gehazi? We talked about him a couple weeks ago. Poor Gehazi. He's really been getting a bum rap here on Sunday mornings. But Gehazi, in disobedience to God, is smitten with leprosy. And so the news spreads. And in the Jewish mind, here comes this man filled with leprosy. He's covered. And we have to understand that leprosy is a form, it is a type of sin. It is a disease, yes, but in the Jewish mind and in the God's economy, it is a picture of what sin does to a person. Now listen, if you were a leper, it's a horrible thing because number one, it could actually begin to do its insidious work in your life long before it shows. And in fact, it's in the very marrow and in the bone of the individual. And you may be playing ball and you may be watering your donkey or doing the work that you're doing there in the area of Jerusalem and roundabout and maybe doing fine. Yet inside, deep inside the very being of the individual, there's this cancerous leprosy. And what happens, it begins to appear as a discoloration of the skin. And at first glance, it's nothing. It's looked upon, it's viewed, and it's nothing. I'll wash it off. It's no big deal. I'll just go my way. And the person goes their way, and yet a couple of weeks later, maybe they get up and they look, and there's more, and it's spreading. And it's a tragic, horrible story about what takes place. According to the law, if you had leprosy or possible leprosy, you were to go to the priest. And the priest, he was to examine you. He was to see. And according to Leviticus, and I encourage you to write it down later, you can look it up, chapters 13 and 14, the leprosy was examined by the priest, and he would determine what type of leprosy you had and what should be done about it. Some leprosy only required minor isolation. 7 days you were to be kept away from everybody else. We get that today from then, quarantine. When you quarantine somebody or an animal, they're under observation to make a determination, what's going on here? They did that. And if it began to advance, the law commanded that this person should be banished. The priest would say, unclean. And the life that this individual lived from here on out was most tragic. Now listen, hear God's word this morning. It is a type of sin. It is a similitude of sin. When the person was banished, he was banished from fellowship. Not only from his family. Can you think of something so tragic as being banished from your family? No more fellowship. No more the smell that your children naturally have as dear little kids. Their little infant smells. I love them. I get my little girls and I still sniff around their temples. They've got this baby smell still and it just blows my mind. It's so neat and they couldn't do that anymore. The little babies, they couldn't smell. And then the wife or the husband, no more touching that arm or smelling that fragrance. They were banished. They were kept out and they were kept out because they were contagious. And so they were banished and the priest commanded them to be outcast, and they lived so often outside the city limits. And in the book of Kings, we read that they would throw the garbage over the walls of the city and the lepers would come and eat the garbage that would be tossed over the fence. And they would come at night, by the way. Do you know why they came at night? There was no law saying they had to. It's because of this. When leprosy began to make its advancement, it first began to attack the extremities. I hope you've had breakfast already or whatever. But I only speak of the hideousness of it so that you will catch a glimpse, that remembering when you hear and see the word leprosy, you can insert sin. Because what would happen in all actuality, the person would begin without feeling, no problem, no pain as of yet. There would be a numbing in the extremities, the toes, the fingers, the nose. And there would be a numbing. The skin would become whitish. It would be irritated sometimes, red, then black at times, depending upon the type, and then there would be a numbing. There would be a white area forming. And what would so often happen is that because they're cast outs, they're castaways, rats would come in the night, and they would eat away at their fingers and at their toes. And so many lepers were fingerless and toeless, and their nose would often be eaten away, and sometimes it would bleed, sometimes not. Sometimes it was so dead there wouldn't be any blood there. But if you were a leper, you would cover your face and your hands, and all you could see, maybe you saw Ben-Hur, thank you, exactly. And there Miriam is covered in the lepers, in the leper colony, and you could just see their eyes. And it was terrible because their brow, where their eyebrows were at, would just expand and hang over. And it was a terrible sight, and they would become very much deformed. And so they would come out at night so they wouldn't scare little children and people. And it was a horrible life. It was a horrible thing. Yet God likens leprosy to sin. And He says, this is like sin. And this is what it does. It begins to start deep within our hearts. And it's interesting to me that I got my Merck manual out. Maybe you have one of medical diagnostics. And I was reading it last night. And so often my medical dictionary told me that when leprosy is just about to manifest its presence, it comes so often at the age of puberty, which in the Jewish mind is often the age of accountability. Are you with me? As the person begins to understand that they have sinned against God and they need to receive Him as Savior, so often at that same age, a person would begin to experience the first signs of leprosy. I'm a sinner. Oh no, I have leprosy. You see the similitude? Am I confusing you? I hope not. You see that? Some of you are like looking like you're asleep. It's an awesome thought. It's a horrible thought. Now, I don't know about you. I have never seen a leprous person, to my knowledge. And by the grace of God, it has been very well subdued in the Western world. In fact, on the island of Guadalupe, in the late 1800s, there was a case reported. And praise God, it's so limited now. But if you have what's called Hansen's disease, that is leprosy, they don't call it leprosy so much anymore as Hansen's disease. And they have now injections and medication that you can take that will arrest it from advancing in many of the cases. Yet there are still those today that do not find remedy. And on the island of Oahu, one of those big islands, there's a colony. Still. But listen to this. I want to read something to you that ministered to me in the way of seeing it as it truly is. Albert Barnes speaks this. The appearance is not always the same, but it commonly resembles a spot made by a puncture. The spots generally make their appearance very suddenly. Perhaps its appearance might be hastened by a sudden passion or fear or anger brought about in the individual. The spots commonly exhibit themselves at first on the face, about the nose and the eyes, increasing in size to about of a bean. There are three kinds of leprosies distinguished by the appearance: white, black, and red. These spots, though few at first, gradually spread till the body is covered with the hideous disease. But though the appearance of the disease is at first in the skin, yet it is a deeply seated state in the bones and in the very marrow of the joints of the body. We have reasons to suppose that in children it is concealed until the time of puberty. And that's what I had said earlier. A leprous person may live 20, 30, even 50 years if he receives the disease at his birth, but there will be years in advance where it will manifest its presence. The bones and the marrow are pervaded with the disease. The malady advances to the stage that it literally takes the very seed of the man, and he collapses and falls together in a form which has consumed his extremities and separates the fingers, the toes, and other areas, gradually bringing the poor, wretched victim to a place of doom. Isn't that bad news? I paint that horrible picture for you this morning because Jesus will set this man free. And that's what we're to focus on this morning. Now, my little girls come out of the bathtub. I should back up. Often I will scold them, the little rebellious bums. They get going and they won't listen, and you got to scold them, and you send them into the tub maybe for early cleanup and get to bed. And if your kids are like my kids, they got all their little dolls and stuff and they're playing in the tub, and like an hour goes by and they come out and they're leprous. I mean, they're white. Their fingers are all wrinkled and crinkled and they look all white and they look like a little leper. And you look at them and you go, my gosh, what happened to you? You better obey me next time. Look at your hands. God speaks of leprosy. No, I don't do that. But as it begins to take the individual over, and here I bring all that out to point out to you. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You can clean me, God." Luke tells us in the parallel passage of this that this man came full of leprosy. In the Greek, it means that he was at the point of death. This man was the most hideous looking of all men. He was most sad to look at. This guy was filled with leprosy. And I love this because here Jesus speaks the incredible Sermon on the Mount. He comes down and he doesn't turn the water into wine at this stage. He doesn't call fire down from heaven or whatever he could have done at the snap of a finger. Jesus goes right to the Jewish mind and he heals a man that has leprosy, the greatest curse that could be upon man. It would be equivalent today for somebody who's in the latter stages of AIDS, HIV-3. And Jesus walks into the hospital and the man is there, barely even to raise his head, and he says, "Lord, if you're willing, you can cleanse me." And Jesus cleanses the man. Totally, completely, immediately, the Gospels tell us. This man was full of leprosy. Now listen, this is key. It says in verse 2, "Lord," I want to stop right here. The man is acknowledging Jesus as Master. Master. There's no question in his mind about who Jesus is. "You're Master. You're Lord. El Shaddai, God Almighty, Master, Owner." He calls him Lord. He calls him. And truly Jesus is. But look what he says. "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." I got news for you. The Lord's willing. But what is in this verse is this. This man acknowledges the power and the presence of Jesus. And he says, "If you are willing." That word means that he actually had doubt. Now, normally, you would look at this verse and you say, well, if it's the Lord's will, I'll be healed. And that's good, and you should. But that doesn't apply in this portion of the text here this morning. The man was mixed with doubt. He went to Jesus and he said, Lord. And he had no doubt about that at all. But he says, if you're willing to heal me. And that's the problem. You and I assume you, I know me, I'll have no problem. If you come and we lay hands on you and pray according to the book of James, that if we pray, you're going to be healed. If not, God's in control, it's His will. One thing's certain, God's will be done. You may be healed. And we've had wonderful healings here. Praise the Lord. But that's God's business. But I can see so easily trust God to heal you. It's easy. Oh, but now, Lord, if you're willing, you know, if you can heal me, that's another thing. And I have doubts so often about God touching me. I can believe God to do anything for you. You see, I have doubts about me. Lord, will you touch me? And that's unbelief. And that's fear. And the Bible says that that's sin. The Bible says that we're to worship Him, believing that He is God, and that we're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. When we come to the Lord, we come to Him who shows no partiality. That means He loves you just as much as He loves me. If He's willing to heal you, He'll heal me. And I share this with you. Some of you know, I have a sickness, and it will be with me for life unless God removes it. And believe me, more than three times have I sought the Lord to deliver this from me. But God, through this thing, spoke to my heart. He says, my grace will be sufficient for you, Jack. In the midst of this sickness, I will be glorified. And let me tell you, pal, it took me 9 months to come to that place. I'd lost 18 pounds. I wasted away. I was nothing. I lost so much work. I remember being curled up in a ball, asking the Lord, please, just take me home. I made sure that my life insurance, I'm serious, I made sure my life insurance was correct. Every doctor I went to could not tell me what was wrong. And I, for 3 months plus, morning, noon, and night, ate the only thing I could eat was rice, chicken broth, and white bread for 3 months. And I just said, God, take me home. And I lusted for an In-N-Out double-double. I mean to tell you, Lisa would be cooking and I could smell it. Oh. But I tell you that because of the suffering and the pain, I learned something. God, you're gracious. God, you're all powerful. I will glory in my infirmity, God, that your power may rest upon me. Jesus, I gladly now receive this. And to be honest with you, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I know when some of you pray, oh, Lord, heal Jack. I want you to know that in my mind, I'm saying, Lord, now answer that prayer according to your will. God, I have been blessed by what you've worked through this illness. I praise you for it. And in a sense, I rejoice over it. And then the very fact of the matter is, when pain and suffering and leprosy in your life is present and manifesting itself, believe the Lord to heal you. And if He doesn't heal you, if you're His child, He's got even something better. Can you handle this? It took me a long time to handle this one. If God doesn't heal you, He's got something better. That's heavy. Because I know you can turn on channel 13 or whatever and get a whole different message. But listen, the last time I looked in my Bible, Philippians 3:10 told me that through suffering, I will be conformed unto the image of Jesus Christ, that I would know the power of His resurrection. How? Through suffering. Jack, I don't want to hear that. Then look, a lot of you are here for the first time. Then you don't have to come back. You can go down the street and you can have some flowery primrose path trimmed for you that says there'll be never any trials. There'll never be any rain to knock your house off the block. You'll do fine. Think right and it'll all be. You know what? Read your Bible. Storms are coming. We talked about that last week. Listen, when trials come, you're going to want to make sure you're on the rock. You're going to want to make sure that your leprosy can be dealt with. Look, when we sin, and we sin, what do you you going to do? Work your sin off? That's totally unacceptable to God. You must go to Him and say, Lord, I'm a leper. Cleanse me, Lord Jesus. And the very fact of the matter is, leprosy is never healed. You realize that? Broken legs are healed. Sicknesses are healed. Blindness is healed. Leprosy is cleansed. Sins are what? Where in the Bible does it say your sins are healed? Your sins are never healed. Your sins are cleansed away. Absolutely washed away. There's a lot going on here. I must believe when God says, hey, I'm willing. He's willing to heal me or do something better. Jesus is never startled at your sin. What have you done this last week? I don't want to know. I don't need to know. But you know what? Jesus knows. I don't care how gross you fell. Do you realize the Lord this morning never goes, ah, you did what? Oh, Gabriel, Michael, look what they've done. No, your friends will do that. Your wife will go, what? You did what? Almost 14 years of marriage. I think that's right, 13? How much? 41 years of marriage. My wife still seems shocked at my coming short. I don't understand. You know? I bite the dog. How could you do that? You're a pastor. What are you doing? You know, hey, Jesus is never startled. You may stand there because of sin. Your fingers are eaten away. Your toes are gone. You're trying to cover up your sin and the traces of sin. Look, all of us have sown wild seeds in our day. You know, we're funny. So many. I have really yet to meet an atheist. I have yet to meet one. Everybody believes in God or gods. And everybody's out doing their thing, and they know that when they do wrong, they're in trouble with some god or gods, and you begin to talk to them about it, and there's guilt. And they're trying to cover up their sin. You know what I mean? You know, if you smoke, I do not mean this. You can be a totally full-blown Christian and smoke. Charles Spurgeon smoked a cigar, and C.S. Lewis smoked a pipe, so I'm not picking on you. But Lisa and I knew two Christians down at Calvary Costa Mesa. They loved God with all their heart, and they smoked. And, you know, you'd see them at the market, and they'd try to cover, oh, how you doing? how are you? You know? And you know, they felt uncomfortable, but I felt worse because I didn't want them to think that that was an issue. It's certainly not an issue with me. And they try to hide it. And a leper wraps himself up. But you know what happens when a leper wraps himself up? The blood comes through the wrappings. And they begin to hide themselves. And then your nose and your face and your feet. And it's just everywhere. And everywhere they're going, man, there's blood and there's trails of leprosy. And everywhere we went in our past life, man, there's trails of leprosy. I don't know about you, but I was in construction, and I think I could have written a book on new foul words. And the day I met Jesus, I mean, He put a gate on my mouth. Now, there's other things He's been working on since, but I tell you, He put a dam across my mouth, and I praise God for that. You know what I mean? And God is good. God is blessed when He does that, and I'm so grateful for that. But so often we cover up our sin. And we shouldn't do that anymore. We should go to Jesus. He can see that we're full of leprosy anyhow. Just go to Him. Don't try to hide it. Pharisees hid their leprosy under their robes. But what came out, what was really deep in their hearts, came out of their mouth. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus. Do you know what that means? In Matthew chapter 8, it says here that Jesus says, hey, verse 3, then Jesus put out His hand and He touched him. Uh-oh, no way. You see, the law says you cannot touch a leper. The leper broke the law in not saying, unclean, unclean. Jesus breaks the law by touching him. Are you with me? Jesus goes through the law, fulfilling all of the law. Jesus goes through and he touches because he's God. He goes through in deep compassion. In deep compassion, Mark 1, verses 40 to 42 says, then a leper, same situation, came to him, imploring Jesus, kneeling down to Jesus, and saying to Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, put out his hand and touched him and said, I'm willing, be cleansed. And as soon as Jesus had spoken, immediately the leprosy had left him and he was cleansed immediately. Now, why is it you're not to touch a leper? Because you can get it. Why is it that Jesus touched the leper? Because he was God come in the flesh. When he touched the leper in his purity and in his holiness, says, hey, Jesus, I'm going to take all of their leprosy and I'm going to heap it on you. And you, all of your righteousness and all of the holiness that you are, yea, that we are, will be theirs. And God on the cross imputed his righteousness or his purity, his holiness to you and me on the cross. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. Isn't that good news? He took upon him our leprosy. He cleansed us. He didn't heal us. He cleansed us because sin is too deep to be healed. It's got to be cleansed. It has got to be cleansed. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16 to 19, God speaking says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek judgment or justice. Reprove the oppressor. Defend the orphans. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They will be as red like crimson. They shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. I like that. God flips the whole thing over. Hey, if you're willing, come to me. You see, the leper stood there and said, man, if you're willing, God, to touch me. And God says, hey, if you're willing, come to me. Come. Make way for this man. Jesus touches him. And there was a lot going on in that moment. Of course, he was physically healed. Praise the Lord. The physical healing, just as that sickness came on, deep inside the marrow and the bone of the individual, and it made its way out, you know what happened? Jesus touches him and reverses the entire thing. What took years to manifest, in an instant it was gone. You may have sinned, and you may be a backslidden Christian here this morning, and you may think you've gone too far for God to receive you back. And it takes an instant. It takes a long time, if you ask me, to get away from the Lord. That's a hard road. That's a tough place to go. I've been there. And maybe you've been there, and maybe you're going there. And the very fact of the matter is, you've got to keep pushing Jesus out of your life. And I don't want to get into the Word, Lord, and I want to do my own thing, God. And the Lord steps back. And then God sends a trial into your life. Maybe it's a sickness. And God, you get angry. How could you do this? I thought you loved me. And God holds your head like this. And you're going, trying to swing at the Lord because why? You ever do that? Don't ever do that to your kids, by the way. That really frustrates them. To your boss and other people, that's another thing. God just stands there and lets you swing and swing and get all upset, because the very fact of the matter is, if you're like me and you get away from God and something happens, God kind of like on the horse, kind of jerks those reins and snaps your, whoa. And here you are experiencing something that's unpleasant. Why? Because God loves you. Because God's pulling you back on track. It takes a long time to get away from Him. It takes a second to turn around. And the enemy will say to you, oh, but you've been too bad. You've been a mad, bad Christian, ugly Christian. But no bad, no way, man. God's, you got to work your way back to God. No way. Jesus says, come on, man. Come on. Just like that. Instantly. I tell you, that takes maturity, because if you're like me, you'll get out. And when God calls you back, you've got this thing in you that makes you want to like pay the price. Well, now I've got to be sad all day because I got mad at the dog and I sinned. And so you have to put on this countenance of gloom and I'm in mourning over my sin. God says, man, get out of here. That's at the cross. Come on, let's go. Let's go get a cone down at Thrifty's. Let's go, Jack. Fellowship. It's together again. You know, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to cleanse us from our sins and from all unrighteousness. How long? That long. That's how long. Last week, it's been neat what's been happening. We had another person accept the Lord after a Sunday morning message here. And the neat thing is, man, we had to just say, honey, it's done. The angels right now are partying in heaven because you have repented. It takes a second. And that's good news. Instantly, the leprosy can be washed away. But this sin, if you choose not to go to Jesus for your cleansing, sin will exclude you from fellowship with the eternal God. Sin will exclude you from your family. Sin will drive your family apart. James tells us, boy, you know, when a little spark gets kindled, what a fire it sets. The whole forest will burn up. And listen, sin unchecked in my life will cause a fire in my home. And you know what happens? It spreads to my neighbors. It spreads to this church. It spreads to the job. It spreads everywhere. You may think that you're not committed. If you name the name of Christ, you're committed. Look, when I blow it, I hurt your Christian walk. Jack, I never met you before. When I blow it, I hurt your Christian walk. Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need to understand the forgiveness of the Lord. How are we going to overcome? How did Jesus touch this guy? Let's look. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell nobody, but go and show yourself to the priest. Why did he say that? It was commanded by the Old Testament law. He had to do that. But it was also to ring a bell, so to speak. Leprosy hadn't been healed since possibly the writing of the book of Leviticus, hadn't been healed except for special intervention that all the Jews knew about. And you can count them on your hand. I just forgot them all, that's all. With Naaman, remember Naaman the Assyrian? The enemy of Israel, dipped 7 times in the river, and he was healed of leprosy. Remember Moses put his hand in, pulled it out, put it back in, had leprosy, God took it away instantly. There's places in Scripture when God intervenes in the law and heals, cleanses, makes miraculous again the skin of a leper. And why do I say that? Because the law commanded that the person should go to the priest. And a decree would be issued in the conversations of the people. That guy was healed. He was healed. He was cleansed of leprosy. And Jesus says, go to the priest. Go straight to the temple, straight to the priest, and offer up the sacrifice. Now listen, and we'll end here. The man that was cleansed of leprosy was to go to the temple, to the priest, the representative of God, and he was to present himself, and the priest would offer a sacrifice. Guess what? The priest would take hyssop. He would take scarlet. He would take 2 little sparrows or doves. He would kill the one as a sacrifice. He would take the blood from the one and sprinkle the hyssop and the scarlet on the dove or the sparrow that was alive. And you know what? The priest in the presence of the people would set that bird go and it would fly away. And you know what that's all about? That's Christ in the healing. When Jesus was on the cross, they gave him what? Hyssop. They gave him bitterness. By the way, the Old Testament, the man was to take wood in the sacrifice. The cross was made out of wood. Jesus on the cross with the blood, the red, the scarlet, and the bitterness. All of the Old Testament representation of the cleansing of the leper was pointing to Christ. It was a symbol that if your leprosy is strong, if your leprosy is present and you acknowledge it, go to Christ. Go to the cross. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? It is such good news to realize that the priest did the work. The leper just presented himself. And that brings my heart joy. Because you see, there's nothing you can do. It's all in the hands of the priest. Jesus is our priest. Jesus is our high priest. And he can be touched, the Bible tells us, with our sicknesses and our hurts and our pains. We go to him, and Jesus says, I understand. It's good news. The Lord loves us, and he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. Listen, gang, if you lean on the Lord, you'll be safe. If you lean on him, you'll be saved and you'll be cleansed. God is good. If the Holy Spirit this morning has convicted you at all about any inconsistency in your life or sin, hey, take it to him. We'll bow for a moment in quietness and just speak to the Lord in the quietness of your heart, nothing out loud, and repent. Jesus, I rejoice, Lord, that you cleansed this leper. And Father, I pray that you'd cleanse me afresh.